listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine?
Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life. Hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
All right, everybody, welcome to the episode of today. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about a topic which I have, like so many things, I've definitely kind of dabbled into this topic a little bit here and there, but I think a whole episode, we are due for an entire episode on the topic of intrinsic motivation versus extrinsic motivation. So it's basically, I'll go into it in, you know, obviously in more detail, but it's what you are internally motivated to do, as in the actual, you do it for the process itself, versus doing something because there is a reward at the end, or doing something because you don't want a punishment at the end. So that's external versus internal. There's not one good, one bad, and you should only be intrinsically motivated and never extrinsically. They're both good. Firstly, I'm going to do a deep dive into what they actually are and what it feels like. I'm going to talk to you about when you should be using which one and how to increase the intrinsic motivation and how to utilize extrinsic motivation more when you need to. So a lot going on. It's hopefully going to help you structure how you do things, and it's going to help you see things through more. I think it's going to get you to a point where I'm going to give you some personal anecdotes where I've had, you know, I'm nearly 35 and my entire life I've not liked doing something, and then all of a sudden I've changed how I go about it and I'm really enjoying those same things. So you will hopefully get to a point where you can start actually enjoying things that you never really thought you would enjoy that make your life a whole lot better. Before we do that, I am going to go into a little fun science fact that I think you guys will find quite interesting, and you can tell it at parties. Very interesting little fact which I denied for such a long time and then came to the realization that it's very much true. And I thought I'd do a little life update. I don't think I've done a life update in a little time, but the life update is that my Facebook page got legitimately hacked. I'm talking like I went to log in. So my assistant Shania and I, we were trying to figure out like Meta, whatever, and we went to log into Meta and it's like, no, you can't log in. So then I was like, okay. So then I went into my Facebook to be like, why isn't it letting me log in? And it's like, no, wrong email. And then I went to renew, like refresh and get a new password sent. It says this Facebook doesn't recognize this email at all. I'm like, what? And so there was just no way, because the email wasn't even recognized. It had completely been deleted. Like I think there'd been so many attempts at logging into my Facebook that Facebook shut the whole page down. Anyway, so then I went onto the email that I normally use, which I never use anymore. It's like a dead email. And went into it, and in that email, which I never log into, which was the email linked to the Facebook, there were so many things like, here's the login code for your Facebook. Here's the fucking, all these login codes. And then there was like, the ID photo you have presented is not like, isn't up to our standards. Twice. So some crazy cunt has been sending a photo of fuck knows what. I wish they would send you the actual photo of what was submitted. And it was happening on the Gold Coast. Some crazy clown on the Gold Coast was submitting these like images of ID. I don't know if it was like a fudged ID with my face. Anyway, whatever. Then my email itself got hacked, that email. So I was getting emails to my other recovery email being like, hey, if this wasn't you, the blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh my God, there's someone out to get me. And then I logged into the email account, and it was basically, they had used my email, attached it to all these weird apps, which I then had to like shut down and turn on two-factor authentication. If you guys don't have two-factor authentication, turn it on, because I was spamming people from this account, evidently. There were like thousands of emails that had come from my email for like, mainly like NFTs and stuff. But then I was getting all these threats like, warning. You've been filmed, your webcam, we've accessed your webcam and you've been filmed doing sexual acts, and now we're going to send it to your employer. I'm like, can't, firstly, I don't have an employer, so good luck with that. Secondly, I wish my life was that exciting that I'm fucking filming myself in my office in front of my like Mac, what, masturbating? Like what? Anyway, so I'm kind of like, I would reply, but if I reply, I'll probably install some like virus onto my computer. So I didn't reply, but these emails are so cooked. Never fall for it, guys. No one's got you videos of you having sex with yourself. And also, even if they did, so what? It's proof that you have fun, honestly. Who cares? If someone sent a video of me having sex to everyone, I mean, massive violation of my privacy, but also I'm not going to be paying millions of dollars at the end of the day. A, I'm not filming that. And B, if I was, then you're lucky to say it, cunt. Anyway, that is all for my life update. And I think that I'm getting it back though. We spoke to the people at Meta. Very lovely. They're really helping me. So if you are on the Facebook page and I've not been present at all, that is the reason. That is the reason. Also, I'm shutting that fucking email down because it is like plagued with many, many diseases from the black plague, the black rat. The next thing I was going to do is that little fun science fact. And this is the fact. Milk is better at hydrating than water. You heard it here. My father once told me this fact and he told it to me years ago. And I was like, that's fucking disgusting. Who's going to be drinking a glass of like cow teat juice when they're dehydrated? I can't think of anything worse. Then fast forward maybe a year after he told me that fact, I went for this long run. I was living in Paris at the time and I was so dehydrated. It was such a hot day and this run was very, very long. I got back and I was, you know, when you're like, unquenchable. Your thirst is unquenchable. I was so parched. I can't even begin to explain it. You could only explain it through like interpretive dance. I was so fucking parched. And then I looked in the fridge and there was also milk. And I had had so many glasses of water at this point. And I didn't want to get like, you know, when your brain explodes because you have so much fucking water. That's not a technical term. I have a whole brain fact on water intoxication. It's a thing. But I was like, I don't want to drink 50,000 liters of water. I'm just not quenching my thirst. And so I saw the milk in the fridge and I was like, I'm just going to take my dad's advice and drink a big glass of milk. And the moment I did that, almost instantly, within a couple of minutes, if not less, my thirst had been quenched, so to speak. I felt amazing. I didn't feel thirsty anymore. It was great. Why is that the case? Okay, so basically one of the factors that determines how well a drink hydrates you is the nutrient composition. So obviously you need fluids in there. Milk is 90% water, but you also need certain things that are going to change how your body responds to that particular fluid that you've ingested and is it going to hydrate you or not? So milk actually contains a lot of different nutrients in it, such as lactose, proteins, and fats, and also like potassium, sodium, all of that. And it actually slows down the emptying of the fluids out of your stomach and out of your system. And because it slows it down, it keeps your body hydrated for longer instead of the fluid getting emptied out really quickly and you peeing it out. Okay. So the more you can retain fluids, the more it gives your body the ability to hydrate itself before it eliminates the excess fluids. Okay. So obviously, I'm just going to say this at the start of this little fact. You can't go past water as your main drink. I'm talking about when you've been sweating a lot, when you're really dehydrated, when you're reaching for those drinks that are hydration aids, that have electrolytes, that have things like that. You know, milk is also a really good option is what I'm saying. I'm not saying go and drink milk as an alternative to water. There's many reasons why you shouldn't be doing that. Obviously, milk is also really high in a lot of other things. You probably don't want to get all your calories from milk, but it is a great agent to hydrate when needed, when you're dehydrated, when you're sweating a lot, that kind of situation. Okay. But don't replace water for milk. Not that you guys would, but just had to put it out there. So basically there's all these studies that show that when people were dehydrated, specifically I'm talking about people being dehydrated and they drank milk, there was more retention of fluids, as in they peed less versus other drinks, in particular water and other, you know, sugary drinks and things like that. Now, of course, there's going to be limitations because we're looking at people that are just dehydrated and we're looking at smaller sample groups and things like that. So there's always going to be limitations in the study. But I think it's really interesting to see how nutrients within the fluid can actually help you retain the water. It's all about fluid like retention when you're trying to hydrate. Because of that, milk is associated with lower urine output versus water. You're more likely to pee more when you're just drinking water versus milk. And peeing is good, obviously. However, you want to give your body time to absorb the fluids. And sometimes, depending on the person and depending on the situation, you don't have enough time and you're peeing out more than what you're absorbing into your system. Now, another thing is when you sweat, you release a lot of nutrients through your sweat, including things like electrolytes, okay? We lose potassium, we lose sodium, we lose electrolytes in our sweat. So it needs to be replenished. Just drinking water is not going to replenish that quick enough, okay? So this is where those hydrating agents come in, like a Powerade or a Gatorade or something, or electrolyte drink. Now, firstly, what are electrolytes? Electrolytes are essential minerals. Anytime you hear the word essential, it means that it's essential for human health. Like we need these minerals for our body to actually perform. Okay, so it's an essential mineral, and its responsibility, the responsibility of electrolytes is regulating fluid balance in the body. So it helps you maximize the effects of fluid within the body so you can stay hydrated for longer. Okay, so without electrolytes, you're going to struggle maximizing the effects of fluid around the body. Now, there were studies also done on non-dairy milk, and is that as good as milk for hydrating? But there's very limited evidence. So when I say there were studies done, there's not a lot out there, not much evidence. And the reason why it's difficult is because every single non-dairy milk is quite different to the next. So it's quite difficult unless you're comparing one specific kind of non-dairy milk to another. It's really hard to get that information. But they also still have a really high percentage of water, non-dairy milks, like nut milks and things like that. They've got a high percentage of water. Of course, they're going to be fine to hydrate, but are they as good as milk as far as potassium, electrolytes, all those things, fats and all those things that we were talking about? We're not quite sure. It doesn't look like it, but again, it's milk to milk dependent. And then, of course, the last thing to know about it is that there are calories. There's you know, fats in the milk. And when you have calories, or when you have fats, or when you have more substance other than something that has no calories like water, it slows it down in the stomach. It slows down the absorption as well. So you're getting this kind of, you're getting a replenishment of your electrolytes, your potassium, your sodium, but then you're also getting it to slow down within the stomach, and that slows down the absorption into the body, which then slows down the elimination of the fluids, which then allows the body to retain more fluids because you've slowed down that process. So the bottom line here is drink water as your main source of hydration. But if you ever find yourself dehydrated, really sweating a lot, parched, unable to quench your thirst, it could be that your body is struggling to retain the fluids that it needs. It could be that it's lacking in potassium, electrolytes, sodium, and things like that. And that's when you can be reaching, give your body a helping hand and reach for something that's going to help hydrate your body properly. So a milk is great. And then, of course, like I said, you've got the other hydration agents, like actual those electrolyte drinks, hydrolyte, things like that. That's going to be great as well. But again, water for everyday intake is perfectly suitable, perfectly fine. That's what we are made to drink, of course. Cool beans. All right, let's get into the topic of today's episode. So we're talking about basically motivation. We're talking about intrinsic motivation versus extrinsic motivation. But let's describe it in really simple terms. And in a sec, I'm also going to give you specific examples of what I mean. So extrinsic motivation. Extrinsic motivation is you do something to gain an external reward or to avoid punishment. Like you stick to the speeding limit because you don't want to lose your points, or you don't want a fine. You know, you do a certain task that you have to do because you want to get paid for that task. Okay. Intrinsic comes from within. So intrinsic, external, internal. Okay. Intrinsic comes from within, meaning that you engage in doing a certain task. You engage in that thing for the process of doing that thing, because you enjoy the process of it, because you feel satisfied doing it, regardless of the outcome. Okay. So I'm going to give you a personal example, and I'll probably refer back to this example throughout the episode so you guys know what I mean. But for me, cooking has never been something I've enjoyed. I've tried, don't like it. And because of that, I've always been very, very basic when I just have to cook for myself. Here and there, I might have a bout of energy and I would have like cooked something a little bit more. But really, the only time I felt that I was able to cook and enjoy it was if I was around people, cooking for people and talking to them as I cooked, or if I was cooking with somebody. And then again, there was that social aspect of it. But I found cooking for myself, didn't like it. So I rarely delved into it. And of course, yes, I've prepared my own food. I lived alone many times in my life. I've survived quite well, but I would be very, very basic. And even when I did cook, didn't love it. Okay. So it was this begrudging thing that I would force myself to do. But I now, I'll tell you what I've changed. I now look forward to cooking. Mind you, Tyrone cooks 90% of the time, but I now look forward to cooking. I will enjoy the process of, if I have an idea of what I want to cook, I'll, you know, prep the food. I enjoy prepping it. I enjoy cooking it. I really like the process. It's fulfilling. There's so many things that I get out of it. I could just go on and on and on. And now I'm starting to like it more and more and more. Why did that change? So I'm going to tell you why it changed, and then I'll break down how that actually makes sense in this episode. My cousin Giselle is exactly like me when it comes to cooking. We are the worst. There was even a time, and there's been many times, where our entire extended family has stayed together. There's been times for long periods of time when I was at, like, I think 11, where my parents, my sister and I moved into my cousin, auntie and uncle's place for like 9 months before we moved to Queensland, because we had sold our house really soon, had nowhere to live. So we lived with them for 9 months. Then there was other times where our families have holidayed together. And every time it was Giselle and my job to cook for the entire family, even as kids, we would open up a tin of tuna, a jar of mayonnaise and boil some fucking rice. Also, great meal. Love it so much. It's like the Uruguayan peasant meal. It's iconic. So got rice, mayonnaise, tin tuna, Serena tuna, delicious. Olives and a hard boiled egg. Mix that through. Fucking unbelievable. Highly recommend. But that's what we would do every time. So we're just as bad as each other. And as we went into adulthood, again, just as bad as each other. We're identical in that. And we said we want to start getting better at cooking. The only time we cook is when we bake cookies at Christmas. And then we try some cake. If you guys follow me on Instagram, you would have seen our dugong Christmas cookie cake. We tried to make a Christmas tree, but it actually blew out into a dugong or a manatee, whatever they're called. So we just turned it into that. But we decided we're going to get together once a week and we're going to see it through. We're going to really stick to it and we're going to cook together every fucking week. We're going to pick a new recipe from a cookbook or something we saw on TikTok or Instagram and we're going to cook it. And I can hand on my heart say since the start of the year, apart from maybe 2 weeks where we've been away, we have followed through with this. We have cooked every Tuesday. We alternate the home. So it's my home 1 week, hers the other, and we love it, okay? We get so into it. We're cooking a new recipe every time. But the interesting thing is, not only do I love it, because I already said, I like the social aspect of it. I enjoy it. But this is what became really fascinating, is now, even when Giselle is not there, I like cooking. I actually enjoy it now. Versus even 6 months ago where I didn't really like it that much. Here and there, yes, but not really. And so I'm like, what has changed? I'm now looking forward to cooking. I'll recreate recipes that I cooked with Giselle on my own and I really enjoyed the process. What has happened? So I want to go into it so we can do that in heaps of other areas in our life, especially for the shit that you really know that if you do it more, it's going to equal like a much happier, healthier life for you. Okay. Now there's many things in your life that you have to do, that you're extrinsically motivated to do. So for example, a lot of people will work out for aesthetic purposes only. I really want to look a certain way. I really want to have to like fit into that fucking whatever. So they'll have that as their motivator. And if anyone who's done that before, like anyone would know that a lot of the time you'll use that as your motivator. And because you've got this external thing that you're chasing, you never try and really find an exercise that really fits your lifestyle or that really works for you or that you can think, oh, yep, this is sustainable. You just kind of slog it out. It's not pleasant. It's uncomfortable. You hate it. You hate training. You hate. And so then when you achieve that goal, what happens? You slip back into your old ways. So I've spoken about that concept many, 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 many times, but that is extrinsic motivation. That is a milestone goal instead of a lifestyle goal. And that's something that causes yo-yo dieting and it causes you to always slip back to where you started because you've not structured your goal properly. Other things as well, but that, you know, like, look, I'll go into the examples. So, you know, as a kid, you do chores, house chores for pocket money. You work your job so you get money, so you can get paid. You pay your rent so you don't get evicted, okay? You might clean up your home because every time you don't do it, your partner or your housemates blow up at you. So you're like, oh, I just don't want the punishment, so I'll clean the home. But if I lived alone, I'd be a fucking grub, right? You might do something charitable, but purely because you want it to look good. You want to look good for doing that thing, not because, you know, you do it so you can announce it to the world that you've done it instead of just doing it for the sake of doing it. Or, you know, as a kid, maybe you kept your room tidy, not because you innately loved being tidy, but because you didn't want to be punished. Or for me personally, I would keep my room tidy because if my room wasn't tidy, I wouldn't be allowed to go out with my friends, okay? So that's extrinsic motivation. intrinsic is you joining a futsal team or a netball team because you enjoy how like the session goes, the socializing, the training, you have a lot of fun, regardless of like even the training sessions you love, it doesn't even matter about the game. You might work longer at a task or even whether you're paid for it or not, because you actually really enjoy what you're doing in that moment. Studying and learning about topics just for the sake of learning more, not necessarily because you're aiming for that degree or that particular mark. Exercising because of how it makes you feel, not because of this external, I need to fit into that outfit. Keeping your house tidy because the process of cleaning and tidying is enjoyable. You feel organized, you feel fulfilled, it makes you feel good. So basically intrinsic, the behavior itself is rewarding, okay? Now, some tasks are going to be just innately extrinsic or intrinsic. It's not like you've got to structure your life for everything to be intrinsic or everything to be extrinsic. But there are people that are more skewed to one than the other. And then there's people that kind of sit in the middle. And it's fine. Either one is fine. You just want to find where can I pull more into intrinsic and where do I really need to lean into extrinsic? Because I don't think it's possible to do everything intrinsically, because there's going to be things in your life that no matter what you do, you're not going to like it. It's a slog. You fucking hate it. It's shit, but it has to be done. And that's where you really lean into, okay, this is where I can create a reward for myself, or this is where I can like structure it really well, so I'm more likely to see it through, okay? But something really interesting to note is there's been studies that have been done, basically, that if you already enjoy doing a task, don't then start to implement a reward for doing that task, because it actually lowers your motivation to do that task. So for example, there were studies that were done on like children, and they would do a certain task or play a certain game. And the children that enjoyed playing the game always enjoyed playing the game. Then they started rewarding those children for playing the game, and their motivation and enjoyment of playing that game went down. And I think a lot of you guys might also look at it in the sense of you might have had a hobby and you loved doing this hobby and it was pure joy, pure enjoyment, pure this, pure that. And then you turned that hobby into a money-making thing. Then you started generating revenue and income. And then part of that zest for doing it, part of that pure love for doing it has diminished. And it's turned into this external motivator instead of this love for the process. And there's been times in my career, and I always have to check in with myself, and I found a really good way to keep myself in touch with the podcast, because I love it so much. And the initial reason for doing the podcast was because I loved the process. But there's been times, because it became my job, that I would allow other factors to interfere with me psychologically, that I would then not enjoy it as much. And then I had these realizations where I'm like, I never want to be like that. I always want to love the podcast. So I have to like always keep bringing it back to my why and why I'm doing it, and not focus on like the business side of it. And you've got to juggle the two, because you can't ignore one and you know, and only focus on the other when it becomes your full-time job. But I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. Now, like I said, don't turn an intrinsic thing into something that requires a reward. If you already enjoy doing something for the sake of doing it, keep it that way. Don't reward yourself. There were also studies that were done on people that are brand advocates just because they love the brand. And then when the brand starts reaching out to them and giving them free shit and giving them all this stuff, then they don't love the brand as much. So sometimes people just love the brand because they love the brand. They don't need the reward. They don't need anything. They're like, I'm just sharing something that I love. Okay. So take that information, do what you want with it. But that's, you know, what it is. Now, how do we increase intrinsic motivation? What is the best way to bump up our intrinsic motivation so we're more likely to be able to enjoy, not only do a task, but enjoy the task? So the first one is focus on what focus and presence does when you do that task. So if you're doing a task thinking, oh, I've got all this other shit to do, I really don't want to do this, or this, or this, blah, 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 then of course it's going to feel like shit. However, if you can think like cooking, back to cooking for me. If I can think, okay, this task, when I do it, I know for a fact it calms me. It makes me feel really capable, because I don't choose things that are too difficult. I've done that in the past and I failed. So I choose something that I know I can do. That's a little bit of a challenge that I haven't done it before, but I know it's doable. It makes me feel capable. It makes me feel organized, healthy. It allows me to focus on one thing at a time. It's like a bit of a meditation, small wins. I'm enjoying it. I'm learning. I'm improving. I don't feel like I'm wasting my afternoon away just scrolling on social media. I've done something productive. I'm growing. There's all these good things. And then because of all of that, because all of these little things combined, I feel fulfilled. So when you do something, think, how can presence help me be fulfilled? So another thing also is when I'm cleaning, tidying up the home. If I'm distracted, if I've got 1,000 things on, if my mind is somewhere else, I'm like, I'll leave unloading the dishwasher till later. I'll do this. I've got better things on. I've got better things to do. But if I think, okay, this is an hour of power for cleaning and I set a 1 hour timer, I'm so present in that hour. I'm like, I'm going to be so efficient. I'm going to not multitask, one task at a time, but get it done properly. And then I race against the clock. I actually end up loving it because I get so much done. I'm really in the zone. I'm really focused. And I say, how much can I get done in this hour? And the whole hour is actually quite enjoyable. I really enjoy that process. Or like when I was, you know, young, and my mum would tell, again, my cousin Giselle and I to, you know, clean a certain part of the house. We would imagine that we were servants to the queen and we'd have to do it. But we'd have this game that we would play and then it became really fun. Okay. So you can always do things that that increase your presence in the moment. So you're actually focused on the task at hand and making that fun. The other thing is doing things with other people, this collaboration and cooperation, that really increases your ability to feel good within the task. It fosters connection. It makes you feel good. It increases all these feel-good neurotransmitters, oxytocin, serotonin, all of that. And it makes you feel like a part of something bigger than yourself, okay? And when you do that, it positively impacts your mood. It takes your mind away from this critical mind of criticism all the time to feeling like, oh, I'm part of a bigger picture. I feel really good doing this thing, okay? And when your mood is positively impacted by something that you do, you're more likely to continue doing that thing regardless of the end result. So again, when you look at this cooking thing, because I was doing it with my cousin, I learned to enjoy the task that even when she wasn't there, I can still now enjoy the task. That's the beauty of it. You can start doing something that's community-based or collaboration or cooperative based, and then you can move it across to it not being so and still enjoy the task because you've learned to enjoy the process. And then another thing that's really important is that we enjoy challenges. Humans enjoy challenges. What we don't like is feeling like a failure. So set yourself tiny challenge, like my race against the clock when I clean, I instantly make something annoying that I want to postpone. I make it fun because I've turned it into a mini challenge that I know I can do. How many times in my life have I fucking folded the clothes and unloaded the dishwasher? Millions, well, thousands. So I know I can do it, but can I do it in this time frame? Yes, I can. And so I'm racing against the clock. It ends up being actually enjoyable. We love a challenge, especially one that we're like, there's a very high chance I can actually do this challenge. We fucking love it. So give yourself doable challenges. That is challenging in the sense that you're pushing yourself more than normal, but you know you can complete it. So it feels like you've accomplished something. The next thing is encouragement. So encouragement is one of the things that I need to do an entire podcast on growth mindset versus fixed mindset, but there's all these studies that are done with children around growth mindset and fixed mindset. And there's a difference between when you encourage someone for their achievements versus for their efforts. So please stay tuned for an episode that will be coming up because I need to do an entire episode on that. But basically, when you encourage someone for their efforts, they are more likely to want to put in more effort. They are less fixated on the end result. They are less worried about failing or succeeding or the pressure because you are encouraging them on like, good effort, good job. You're such a hard worker. That's really great. The trait that you are praising is what they are doing in that moment. It's not, oh, you got an A. Congratulations for being so smart or congratulations for, you know, succeeding or being such a success. No, you're saying, wow, you really put in a lot of effort and it's got nothing to do with the end result. Okay. So encouragement is great. And that is why those gym, like CrossFit, a lot of gym classes that are community based have succeeded so much. That's why there's such a rise in run clubs. People have run for centuries, but the idea of a run club, especially now where people are craving community more than ever, because even though we're so connected, we're also more isolated than ever, is because of this encouragement. When you join a run club, you might have these small little goals that you want to achieve of getting better, but you're not like, I'm here because my career is running, I'm making money out of this, I'm going to win a prize, I'm going to beat every cunt in this fucking club. No, you're thinking, I'm doing this because I want to feel good. I want to feel healthy. I'm also clearly want encouragement. Otherwise, I'd be running alone. That's why you run in a run club. That's why you join these communities, these community-based fitness, you know, gyms or groups. They are so successful because people initially go because of this external reason. Oh, I want to lose weight. I want this. I want that. And then they're like, oh my God, I feel so good. I feel like everyone just congratulated me there. We all give each other a high five or a fist bump at the end of the class. I get this human connection. People are saying, you're doing so well. This is great. Good effort. I'll be the worst in the class and I'll be cheered on. Like, I feel so, so encouraged and so good when I finish. So if you can engage in something where there's the chance of encouragement, the likelihood of you then becoming more intrinsically motivated goes up. Okay. So what have I mentioned here? I've met four things that's not that difficult to do. Number one is presence. What can you do to make yourself present in the task instead of thinking I should be doing something else right now? That's a big one. Okay. Because the moment you can be present, like I am with cleaning and cooking and things like that. And mind you, I'm not like this every time, but the times I am present is when I enjoy it and when I'm more like, oh, I'm doing this for the process more so than anything else. So how can I be present in this and really make it more of a game, make it enjoyable? The next thing is, can I do it with other people? So it's collaborative. So I feel a sense of community. The next one is, how can I make this a little bit of a challenge? So it's more like a game that I'm playing against myself so I can, you know, we love a challenge, especially one that we think it could be achievable. You don't want to set yourself up for failure all the time. That's also really disheartening. So a challenge, like small wins. And then the last one is encouragement. Where am I going to feel encouraged? And that is why people reach out to these other places. That's why there's like my Facebook group. People talk about topics there because other people give their opinion and give their encouragement and say, you know, oh, this, you're doing so well and whatever. You know, people seek out community. That's why you seek out community. That's why you do things in a group, because encouragement feels good and encouragement increases our chance of actually enjoying the fucking thing that we're doing. Okay. So if you can include 1, 2, 3 or all four of those things in something that you feel is a bit of a slog, whether it be exercise, whether it be cleaning, cooking, whether it be, you know, walking your dog. What if you hate walking your dog, but then you feel guilty? So you're like, well, I don't want my dog to suffer, so I'm going to walk it, but I find the walk so rah. Can you create some community around it? Can you start walking your dog with a friend every morning and then make that your coffee date with your dog? Can you, whatever, like that's a very bland example, but you know what I mean. Now, extrinsic motivation, I want you to use that for tasks that none of these apply to, that you're like, no matter what I do, I fucking hate this thing. Okay. I hate it. So, and there are going to be things like, for example, like I mentioned earlier, speeding, not speeding versus speeding, you know, being a good driver versus being a reckless driver. Okay, we've got a really good incentive to not speed. We lose our license if we speed. Okay, so that's a really easy one that you don't have to put any effort into. You've got a strong enough motivator there. But only use those things for specific things that you don't, that you can't become intrinsically motivated in. And the reason for that is that we don't want to get to the point where we kind of get, the effect is that I was talking about, where you dampen intrinsic motivation by rewarding when a reward isn't necessary. When that happens, you get something called an over-justification effect. That's what it's called, where it dampens your ability to like something innately because you're rewarding yourself unnecessarily. So remove the rewards from the things that you want to like for the process of liking. This is also where I talk about my milestone goals versus my lifestyle goals. You know, when it comes to these health habits that you want to bring in, how can I start enjoying that habit so it's intrinsic instead of like, oh, finally, when I reach that goal, oh, then I'll be relieved. Then I'll feel like I'm good enough. Then I feel, the problem with extrinsic motivation is that a lot of the time you will have this external reason for doing something, but there's so much that's not in your control. And what if that external thing doesn't come to fruition? Then was it all a waste? So I would recommend you go back, if you're into this extrinsic motivation, intrinsic motivation, listen to episode 25, where I recorded it with my sister, Stephanie. I need to get her back on because that is so fucking long ago, episode 25. But the episode's called What It Takes with Stephanie, aka my sister. She's brilliant at talking about this subject. Very, very, very good at talking about this subject. But she talks about, you know, when she was originally extrinsically motivated because she was an athlete in all these different modalities for such a long time, it would be this need for first, need for gold, need for this, need, I have to get the first, I have to get the gold. And when she would get the gold, She got to a point where she only felt relief. She thought she'd be happy. She thought she'd have all her answers. She thought she'd feel like, I'm finally good enough. I'm finally it. That's it. But you get to a point where it's just relief because it's not the right time to have this extrinsic motivation. It's okay to want the gold. It's okay to want to win, but you also have to be intrinsically motivated in the process of doing so as well. You don't want to reach the end and be like, oh my God, I got silver and I'm a fucking failure. You should be like, wow, I got silver. Would have been nice to get the gold, but oh my God, what a journey it's been. This is the funnest thing I've ever done in my life. Fucking love it so much for all these reasons. And also the beauty of it, when you love the process, you're not so fixated on your competition. And I'm not just talking about sport. I'm talking about in anything that you do. When you are fixated on the process of doing the thing, you can celebrate other people's wins as well. And then what does that equal? It equals community. It equals collaboration. It equals your quote unquote competitors wanting to work alongside you. It equals this, instead of shutting people out, you're welcoming them in. I'm so enjoying the process of what I'm doing that the person next to me could be in a similar industry doing better than me. And I can be like, oh, that's motivating. That's inspiring. But I love what I'm doing too. I don't feel like a fucking failure just because one person's doing better than me. Yes, I want to achieve more, but I still feel like a success because I like what I'm doing. I enjoy my life. If everything is external, then you'll see one person doing better than you and you will hate what you're doing. You'll be like, fuck this shit. All this effort I've put in for what? For what? And then this self-pity, this kind of, you know, language that you do in your head, it's about why am I bothering? Why am I doing this? If, you know, I'm just not going to fail, that all goes out the window. Okay. All the effort that you've put in goes out the window when you have that mentality around it. Okay. So I want you to really look carefully. I only need to motivate myself for the things that I will never actually need to love. Like there are certain, you know, pay my bills, all that kind of stuff. So there are certain processes that like, yep. Okay. I have to do this particular task. I have to call and pay for this thing, or I have to go to that doctor's appointment. There's certain things. And so for example, for me, if I have like a life admin day with that kind of shit that I'm like, it's just really, it's not about enjoying the process. I just have to get this shit done. Then I can give myself a reward at the end of the day. If I get all these 20 life admin tasks done this week, when I've been saying I'm going to do it for months, then I'll give myself a little reward. I'll buy myself a nice thing that I've wanted to buy myself, or I'll go out, whatever. You pick the reward, okay? But when it's something that you're like, this is something I've got to do for a very long time, or probably for the rest of my life, how can I turn it into an intrinsically motivating thing? And the beauty of it is, no matter how extrinsically motivated you think you are, there are things you can put into place to become intrinsically motivated and to actually love what you do and to love the process. And then when you get the gold, when you win that thing, that is like the cherry on top. But if you don't win, it doesn't delete everything you've done. You still lived, you still had those experiences, you still had a fucking fulfilling, great, enriching time, okay? You still collaborated, connected with people, you felt, you know, that you had a purpose in what you were doing. That's the aim of, you know, turning things into more intrinsically motivated tasks. Hopefully that gave you some, you know, ideas for how you structure your goals and how you structure things that are just a permanent fixture in your life that you would like to enjoy. I am proud to say that I now enjoy cooking. And so I'm recording this on a Tuesday. And then tonight I'm actually going to be cooking a Thai beef salad and vegetarian spring rolls with Giselle. So we cook a different recipe every single week. It's very good. We need to start a cooking show. You guys will love it so much because we're amateurs, but we try so hard. And it's so fun. We cooked moussaka. We cooked a Spanish feast. And when I say Spanish feast, I mean a feast. It's just been amazing. So stay tuned. I'll keep you updated with all my cooking adventures moving forward. Thank you so much for listening. Love you so much as always. Oh, shout out to my global beans. I want to say shout out to my beans that are in Poland and in, there's just so many in Latin America that I'll just mention, and in Chile. Love you guys so much. As always, remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone, and especially don't take shit from yourself. Danke.
Listener.